it's a great opportunity. Let me remind you again, if you had some folks you invited, and you're like Andre and I, and we're working on some folks who didn't come for Be Our Guest Sunday. And so we're hoping to get them here. Or if you had some folks come, but they haven't found a church home, they're still kind of hanging out. This is a good season, good time. Christmas Eve, I'm doing something a little different. We're gonna observe communion. It'll be a shorter service. We'll have candlelight. I have found some things. They look like ice cream cones. Going to keep us from running candle wax everywhere. And then Lord willing, I've got a new thing for young people on Christmas morning. And so I may do it both times, but I know at least do it then. And so I've got just a marvelous way of presenting the gospel and the Christmas story. So I'll wear a sweater because I don't know I own one. But I'm going to sit down and children will gather around. The only thing we'll be missing is a fireplace and walk them through a little bit. And then we'll start that. But it's 5 on Christmas Eve and it'll be 10 a.m. And we'll be circumspect with the time. But it's a good time to invite people. And again, I'm not apologizing for any of this. I just letting you know, I do understand there's some family and some cultural clashes with some of you. But make one of the services if you can make both. And then if you've got family in, make sure that you invite them. My mind's just still there. My mind's there on some of the missionaries we're waiting to hear back from. My mind's still there. Who'd have thought 6, 7, 8 years ago we would be privileged to do this. You're part of church plants. You're part of missions group. You're part of helping families get to the field, stay there. I mean, you've helped dig wells and provide water. You've helped build airstrips. You've helped a Christian school get started down in Brazil. You 3 families there, Chad and Marcus up here in Kodak, just dealing with the transient people and the folks that are very religious but are lost, and you're helping there, and they've built a building, bought a building, refurbished it, restored it. You're having a real part in all of that, and that is just so tremendous. Tremendous. Partners, not just supporters, not just employers, and not employers, not just cheerleaders, but partners. And I really do love that. How many of you like me? You love the heart of our church, and you're thankful for what we get to do for King Jesus. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Stand with us one last time. We'll read a few verses together. Guys, skip down to verse 10 just for time's sake. Verse 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Who is that? Jesus has been born, verse 1, Bethlehem of Judea. In the economy of Scripture, you've had time for Jesus to be born, the shepherds to appear, Herod chased them out of town. There's been a bit of time there away, and they are back now. They are back. The word for child here in these verses indicates that Jesus is give or take 18 months to 2 years old. It's different than infant or baby. And so you have some unexpected guests, verse 11. And they were coming to the house. Who is this? What we typically call the Magi, or these rulers. Sometimes we call them wise men. When they were coming to the house, notice not the manger, not the stable. They're not in probably the basement of a family member's house where they kept the animals in the winter. They were in their own house. They saw the young child with Mary's mother, fell down and worshiped him. The response to seeing Jesus is to worship him. Nobody's ever strutted into heaven. Nobody's ever moonwalked their way to salvation. To see Jesus is to worship him. And when they worship him, they open their treasures. They presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, myrrh. Being warned of God in a dream, they should not return to Herod. They departed into their own country another way. I want to talk to you about the joy of giving and worship. The joy of giving and worship. Would you pray with me? Father, front to back and left to right, speak to hearts. Help me today. Help me to hear, understand, and obey the Scripture. Help me to preach your word, Lord. As this is recorded and be replayed, I pray I'd say things with kindness and grace, but more than that, I would encourage us to do what we ought to do, and that is worship you, Lord Jesus. So thank you. Thank you for what you're doing for us, what you want to do for us, and how you are working in our hearts and in our lives. Holy Spirit of God, use me and fill me, I pray in Jesus' name, and amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. I came across a quote from a guy named Ron Mehl, M-E-H-L. He says, "This time of the year never fails to excite me because God, the real gift giver, found a way to love, bless, and care for people like me. While the world has made Christmas a brazenly commercial, non-sacred event, I refuse to become cynical or allow others to strip what my favorite day of its true meaning. For me, the bells I hear at Christmas announce the truth that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. From Mary and Joseph in Bethlehem to the shepherds in the fields, the angels in heaven, and a bright star in the sky, God's love found a way to package it all just the right way at just the right moment." Ron says, "Realizing that God held nothing back, pulled out all the stops, used the mighty resources of heaven to give the greatest gift of all, ought to give us fresh reason to celebrate his birth, no matter how the world tries to twist or gloss over the truth." I asked my wife, I said, "Is there anything on TV that's not a sappy Christmas movie?" She said, "I hope not." And I said, "Why is there so many of these dumb movies on?" She said, "'Cause people like to feel good." I said, "They want to feel good. They need the real story of Christmas. Not an unbelievably good-looking man with lots of money is single at 26, and an unbelievably thin woman is with perfect hair and makeup, no matter what the environment, is single. That's pure fiction. These folks have no one out there ever to date, and there's no crime and there's no litter in any of these places where you make me watch a movie." I said, "I want to live there." And no matter what channel you put on, and we see the foe and the phony, but I want to help us with that. And I want to specifically, this time of the year, I want to remind us of the relationship of worship here and offering to God. And when you say there's a couple of responses, a few responses. One is, yeah, man, I need some encouragement in this area. That's like three of you. And there's other going, I'm going to feel good, I'm going to feel bad, I don't know how it's going to be. Depends how big the preacher gets. And then the other is just, I don't know why we talk about this kind of stuff. I don't know why we're doing this at all. I came across this a while back. In fact, it's kind of a famous thing with him. David Allen. David, for years and years, has pastored and written a lot of books and all, and kind of a little more famous in the Midwest, and he's recently moved to the Memphis area. He came up with these eight reasons why people get all hot and bothered whenever you talk about worship through giving or worship and offering. And so here's what I want you, man, just have an open heart and open mind. Because I'm going to add one to his list. I want you, not only that, but I want you for a second, and we'll get there, to imagine that when you slide something in the back box or you give digitally, heartandvalleychurch.com/give, whatever how you do it, you give monthly or semi-monthly or whatever how you do, I want you to just imagine for a second the scenario that's here. They're minding their own business. Toddler Jesus is walking around, and in comes this huge caravan. And these people get out with these unbelievably expensive gifts, and they prostrate themselves in front of the toddler because they realize they're in front of the king. Let that set the stage for you a little bit here. So why do folks do this? David Allen says this, and we'll have a little fun here. He says why do some people get all bothered about this? And say, he says, first of all, he says it's materialism. If you've got your notes here, you can write some of these down. It's materialism. We want what we want. We want more of what we want. We want the newest and shiniest things of what we want, and we do those things. The Apple Watch 8 came out. The cook's daughter came out and said there's nothing different about it except the band. And her tweet single-handedly, they said, stunted the sales of Apple's new iWatch or whatever it's called. Said it's the same exact thing. It's just got a different band on it. And other people said, I don't care. It's new. I gotta have it. And we want these kind of things, and we've got to have it. There's a reason they put candy and stuff at the checkout registers, right? because we're going by, you're going, you know, I don't think I can wait till I get to McDonald's, even though it's across the street. I got to eat now. And we want what we want, and we're materialistic. He said people are covetous. People are covetous. There's a problem with living close together with people. You see what they got, and you're like, I think I'd have one of those. I think I have ones. You go around people's houses for parties and different things. You go, I want that. Is there anything more social or any more seditious about social media than covetousness? Is there? You see all this stuff and you're going, oh, man. You feel pretty good about your vacation until somebody says, yeah, we just finished up 2 weeks in Hawaii. We had poi poi and pig every day. And we flew in the helicopter and we went here, went there. I never forget how old I was before I figured out that you could, that there was so many islands at Hawaii. Either my mom, my mother's oldest sister was born there, and I just never thought about it like this, and you can't get there from here and all these kind of things. You know, you feel pretty good about spending 2 days in Gatlinburg. Do you figure out, yeah, we went on a 12-day cruise. We saw whales and sharks and octopus that came up the boat. And covetousness, we don't like to do that because we got to have what everybody else has. Sometimes it's a lack of faith. Well, God, if I do this. Henry, Lord willing to be with us in February, is going to come, do a weekend with us. He's a great Bible preacher. Henry was the first guy I ever heard do this. I was working for him, and he's preached 4 weeks on the subject of stewardship and giving and helping us understand debt and all these kind of things. He got down the last sermon. He said, here's what we'll do. If you be honest, if you take your paycheck and you give God the first 10% at the very least, he said, if you come up to the end of next month and you can't pay your bills, and he held up his checkbook, and he said, I'll take my checkbook, and I'll write you the difference so that you can have what you need. And people murmured. And it was the 200 or 300 people there that Sunday. People murmuring stuff. He kind of let it go for a second or two. He said, now let me ask you a question. He says, why in the world do you trust me to cover and meet your needs, but you don't trust the Lord? And they did what you just did. Guy beside of me smacked his wife and went, uh-oh. We have a lack of faith sometimes. Sometimes it's just we're ingrateful. Anybody here like me, ingratitude, lack of saying thanks, do something nice, or you help somebody out or whatever, and they can't even burp out a thank you, and that just drives you insane? Anybody? I mean, I can always tell how spiritual I am by how much that bothers me. You know, you want to strangle them. Hey, let me help you here. Stick your tongue out. Let me pull it out for you since you can't use it. And, you know. And then my least favorite after that is somebody texting me, T.Y. You can't be bothered to finish out Hank Oo. You got to send me T.Y. T.Y. It's not as bad as a thumb. I'm looking at you. But anyway, and so we're here. And so we're, some of you who've texted Mr. Glaspie know what I'm talking about there. And so we're here. But ingratitude. We can't give because we're not grateful to God. Can't give because we're not grateful to God. I had something happen yesterday, Friday, and my hand started locking up. I don't know if I had a little imbalance or something. I was struggling a little bit with some things. And anyway, and I'm sitting there. I'm starting to panic a little bit. Hands locking up. I need to do some things. Got some things I want to do. And I'm sitting there and I'm going, man, it's been a minute since I've been thinking about my hand locking up. And I worked it out, and I went from panic to gratitude pretty fast, because it wasn't that long ago I was dropping everything, and I figured out I can eat with one hand, I'm okay, and I was there. Sometimes we have ingratitude, we just forgotten what God's done. David Allen says these are four of the reasons. He says sometimes it's our financial situation. Well, I've got too much debt, my car payment's too high, I'm trying to get out of debt or whatever, and so we just kind of blame God. I know my finances better than you. My financial, sometimes we're just too poor. I had people tell me this one time. I had a guy, he was in a two-story brick house, he had a camper outside, he had two brand new vehicles, he had his wife look like she had raided country living. I mean, everything was there. I was scared to sit down. I was duvets and doilies and all this kind of stuff. We ate dinner with him. They had lead crystal glasses in the tea. They're furnished. It's just really beautiful. They had a double plate system. where you just they kept the charger there. Then they ate on that, and we just got done on a series on stewardship and stuff like that. This, I don't know, it was 25, 23 years ago, something like that. We just got done, and he said, "Preach, I just want you to know we're working our way up." I said, "I don't know what you're talking about. We're working our way up." I said, "You're going to have to help me a little bit." He said, "You've been preaching on giving." He said, "We hadn't really thought about it too much." He said, "But I figured out I can give 2%. I looked around. I said, "2%? He said, "Yeah." He just explained to me how he was making money, because he was the first guy I ever heard talk about a bear market and bear funds. And so he was actually making money on the market going down. He said, "We can do 2%. He figures we can work our way up to 10%. I said, "I've got it figured. We can do that. We can do that in about 3.5 years. I said, "You're going to be disobedient for 3.5 years? I didn't know any better. I just was really blunt with him because I'd already eaten dessert. And he kicked me out. I was good. And 3.5 years. He said, "What's the deal?" And what he meant was, we can do that with anticipated raises and no change in our lifestyle in about 3.5 years. I said, "I think you ought to just trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Figure it out. I think God will take care of you." His wife's going, "I told you." And so he talked about it. I usually don't have people talk that bluntly to me, but he really truly said, "Man, I'm just too poor. We can't do it." It's kind of a funny thing. And obviously not. Sometimes folks go, "I don't like the way church spends money." I've had people before, especially when I was a youth pastor, "I'm just gonna give all my money to youth ministry." They were mad with the preacher. I'm like, "You don't get to do that. The tithe is the Lord's, belongs to him. You can't do that." I have people give me their offering directly. "You make sure this gets where it needs to go." I'm like, "I'm going to go put it in the offering plate. It don't belong to me. Don't belong to me." I've said the story before. We had so many folks doing that. At one point, they wanted me to. I stood at one door. Pastor was another. We had another associate at a third door. People come out to me. At the time, I didn't use a wallet as much. I'd have a little money clip that somebody had given me, and so I'd have some money. And I had to make sure this was my money, this was Jesus' money, and make sure it gets there, because sometimes Jesus' money went home with me because people gave me stuff like that. So I was always terrified. Thankfully, that kind of thing is going by the wayside. And I don't know why they thought I was interested in it, because I never opened it, never did anything with it. But it was here. Don't like the way the church spends money, or sometimes it's just disobedient. Sometimes you're just disobedient. Alan says sometimes we just know and we just decide not to do that. And there's a ninth reason I would say sometimes we hadn't thought about it. We just hadn't thought about it. You come to church and you're surprised. You don't think about it. It's not part of your routine. And so with all those kind of things, I want to help us a little bit. I want to help us. How many of you want to, like me, how many of you at least at this time of the year, but if not all year round, you want to worship the Lord? You want to worship him. Worship him with our voices, with our life, with our income. We want to worship him in all the areas of life. And so let's take some things. By the way, if you ever wonder why I say I don't ever want to know what people give or anything like that, it's for sermons like these. Because I don't have a clue. I used to say I don't know who gives, but that's not true. Because some folks through the years make it a point to tell me that they do or whatever, and that's fine. I know that Mr. Blair is our treasurer. I know that he gives. I don't know anything more than that, because, by the way, whoever's the treasurer ought to give, right? Not just have you with me. So I do know that. I do know that. I've asked him. And so other than that, I know my wife gives, and because I write the check. And so I know these kind of things. But it's funny, because here's the deal. If you've got that little knot running right now, then we're getting really close to something you love. That's funny, isn't it? Instead of, "Man, I want to do better at this." Because if I was preaching on prayer, you'd be on the edge of your seat going, "All right, he's going to give me 3 secrets on how to pray better." If I was going to say, "If you do these 2 things, you'll lead everybody in your family to Jesus," you got no problem with that. But when we get on some of these things like this, about how we live and what we do and all these kind of things, our treasure, it's because it's maybe has a wrong place in our heart. We have to be careful about that. I have to be careful about that. They gave 3 gifts here. Notice what I'm trying not to say, and if I say it, I'm going to start introducing it in my sermon. There was at least 2 wise men, because there's a plurality there, But we don't know there was three. We just know there was three gifts. Nod your head if you're with me. Anybody ever been caught with that? You've been at a Christmas party and somebody says, how many wise men are there? Ha ha! Trick question, right? You ever want to punch somebody at a Christmas party? It's not very nice. And so here, we know there was at least three gifts here. Three gifts that go something like this. There was gold and frankincense and myrrh. Gold was the gift for a king. It signified royalty. Typically, it indicated purity as well. To get gold and to mine it and then to purify it in a way that it could be presented, whether it was a vial of gold, and we usually, and you've seen the little kids in the bathrobes and the turban sometimes and do the Christmas thing and they bring up the box of gold. No, that would be unbelievably heavy. Unbelievably heavy to do. I don't know how much it was. I don't know if it was a wagon train. Whatever it was enough to make a difference. Jesus is royalty. Jesus deserves our very best. There was frankincense. They would use this. It was a powerful fragrance. It's here. Still used, by the way, today. Used in worship. Used in prayer. Used particularly with the high priest, the one who would give his access to the Father. There was myrrh used in the embalming process. Most people think that the alabaster box that was broken at the feet of Jesus contained this. It would have been basically the myrrh alone to be significant amount would have been used, would have been a year's wages. It would have been part of a dowry for a person or for a woman in particular to make sure that when she died, she could be embalmed. When they went with spices to anoint the body of Christ after his death, they were taking a small fortune with them to the tomb. More than likely taking their own personal estate to signify and pour out to the Lord. We say these so quickly because they've been part of the vernacular. These were tremendously expensive gifts. This was not the off-brand. This was not, we found this rummaging around in our closet. These were precious gifts. These were particular gifts. Say, preacher, well, I'm with you. Well, let me just spend a minute on application and help us. Because I want to do better at this. I want to make sure that I'm worshiping the Lord with all of me. So what's some things we can learn from these folks? I think number one, give a plan gift. Go back to verse 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. You ever been anywhere and almost run out of gas? Anybody besides me drive on the edge of disaster and you're traveling and then you're like, I hope there's a gas station. I got in a big way coming out of Nashville Wednesday morning. I was feeling good. I was ready to get back home, ready to see everybody. And I'm driving along and I'm thinking, man, I'm going to stop at Bucky's. I'm going to stop at Bucky's because I don't know why I couldn't judge distances. Bucky's is a lot closer to Knoxville than it was to where I was at in Nashville. So I'm driving along. Gas is dipping. All of a sudden, the light comes on. I'm going to make it to Bucky's. I see a sign for Bucky's. Bucky's is whatever, 80 miles. I'm like, I'm not making it to Bucky's. And I'd hit some stretch of road where there was nothing. I asked Google. I said, direct me to the nearest gas station. And Google said, tough. And when your GPS says tough, you know, it's terrible. And so I drove a few more miles, saw something, pulled over and got some gas and all, and I'm kind of sweating. I'm like, man alive, because I don't want to run out of gas. I don't want to do this. I don't want to be embarrassed and all these kind of things. Man, I should have just filled up for a left. I don't know what I'm thinking. I could put a little gas in and still gone to Bucky's and got a sandwich or something, or got one of those crazy things that David got. You know, I could have done a lot of things, but I didn't do it. Man, you plan. You may be surprised today, but you got a few weeks to plan. One of the best things I ever did somewhere on Friday or Saturday, man, I'll do and I'll take, and God, this is yours. In the rush of the day, in the moment, this is yours. I like spontaneous. I like some of you pulled out your phone. You think, hey, it's a Christmas offering day and kickoff, and I'm going to do this. I'm going to do $200 or $500 or $2,000, whatever you're doing, or $20, whatever. I'm going to do this. Put it in there. We were talking about spiritual disciplines. One of the group a couple weeks ago, I said, you know, for me right now, it's just such a part of things. I have to be careful it doesn't become routine. I want to make sure that this is a sense of worth and offering to God. I want to do this. They came. They came. They gave a planned gift. Sometimes we don't. We give Jesus our leftovers. I don't want to do that. I want him to have the best of my time, my talent, my treasure, and my testimony. I want Jesus to do that. They prepared to worship the King. Make sure you are prepared to do that. Prepared to do that. Wouldn't it be something? Be four or five folks in line going to the little box back there, and you hear them all muttering the same prayer. Jesus, accept this. Thank you. Jesus, do that. We do that. We take communion. We take the Lord's table. Pause. Thank you for what you've done for me. I think the same is true there. Same is true. You still with me? Give with joy. Give with joy. And we got several joys in the church. You can give with joy if you're married to them. If you're not married to them, it might be a little awkward. They might let you give with them, though. And when we give with joy. Give with joy. Go give with joy. We want to do this. So go to verse 10. It says, they did what? When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. This star of Bethlehem, if you ever get to go to Planetarium that puts that program on, they've walked it back and figured out whether it was a nova, whatever it was. For years and years, the Planetarium at Chapel Hill did a beautiful, beautiful presentation. Scientists and astronomers have tried to figure this out and walk. One of the things that they can't quite put their heads around is the moving of it. Is it led them from here to there and then got it geographically close enough where they could figure out approximately the house or the neighborhood that's there. When they get there to Jesus, man, they're thrilled. Richard Foster in his book, Spiritual Discipline, says giving with a glad, generous heart has a way of routing out the tough old miser within us. Even the poor need to know they can give. Let me help you. If you got $2, you give a dollar, you gave more than most of us did this month. You gave 50%. You put in both dollars, you probably whooped all of us. Just the very act of letting go of money or some other stuff does something within us. That something always destroys the demon greed. Andre and I are trying to figure out who we've got left to buy for and do for Christmas. Anybody in that stage of your Christmas stuff right now? Who's left? Who have we forgotten? All right, the rest of you have already done, or how many of you are going, hey, I got to start? I'm like Brandon was talking about. Andre said, I got three of these and two of these if we forgot somebody. I said, good. Why are you telling me? I will not remember. I don't remember what the gifts are now. He's got a man's gift and a woman. He's got a three man's gifts or three women's gifts and two anybody gifts. Okay, that's good. Do we have the kids? Do we have the kids? I think so. All right. And he says, we got to buy for your mother. He says, what do you mean we got to buy for my mother? He says, your mother-in-law, you have to buy for your mother. That's how that conversation ended up going. And I said, well, I got her a couple things. And so, you know, where are they? I went, oh, yeah, they need to get to her, don't they? Anyway, so. Bad husband conversation yesterday. And but it'll be a good husband conversation on Amazon tomorrow. And so we're here. We're trying to figure all this stuff out. But one of the things we hate is we forget. We forget. Christmas, we haven't traveled to Christmas in a while. But to be there and do this, and so we try real hard. We try real hard because we wanna do this. We're having this conversation. I'm feeling like a bad husband. Anybody, any husbands, any men in here ever, you feel bad and you didn't even know you were in trouble? And then all of a sudden you realize, all right, just a few of you. Mark's your birthday. You can't feel bad. And so she looks at me and she goes, you see this? And it's a little box. I said, yeah. And I'm thinking, if I gave that to her, I don't remember buying it. And I don't wrap anything. I use a bag. And so I'm working real hard because I think it's a test. Anybody, your wife talk to you innocuously and you think it's a test? And she said, I got to sit to Christmas party yesterday. Whew, okay, I didn't. Good. She said, I know what it is. I said, well, what happened? You opened it. And she said, look. She opens it up. As soon as she opens it up, it's chocolate covered cordial cherries. I said, That's one of your favorite things in the world. She said, it's one of my favorite things in the world. I said, did you know you were going to get it? She said, I didn't know I was going to get it. I said, are you going to eat them now? She says, no, it's too late. But I will eat them tomorrow. And I'll try and spread them out. Man, she was happy. She was happy. I said, well, sweetheart, just smiling so big. Take a picture. Yeah, let's take a picture with the chocolate-covered cordial cherry. She said, I'm 8 years old again. My papa just gave me a gift. She said, this is amazing. I'm sitting here going, I am so dumb. I've spent all this money on her Christmas, and I could have gone to Walgreens. And but anyway, that's beside the point. And I don't remember which one of you gave it to her, so forgive me. Whoever gave it to her, God bless you. I don't know I ever, let me rephrase, I don't think I know who gave it to her. She just got it at the Christmas party. You'd have gave her two or three of those if you'd have known her response. You'd have gone around to anybody else you gave them to and scooped them up and said, I owe you. This woman over here is thrilled. Chocolate-covered cordial cherry. I don't know the box can take it. But if you're given with an envelope or a check, it'd be all right with me if you slam dunk one. Some of you that are a little more limber, if you want a 360 it in there, yes, I get to do this for Jesus. When you give and you finally hit send on the phone, turn around to strangers around you and give two high fives. Yeah, I get to do this for Jesus. They did this for him. Matthew chapter 13. Jesus is describing himself in the gospel as the pearl of great price. Jesus is the treasure, the pearl of great price. He is worth everything. I know I am struggling. When I'm more interested in math than I am the master. Man, he is worth everything. I left the little conversation at the kitchen table with my wife thrilled to death over her gift, going, I want to feel that way toward Jesus. I want to feel that way toward Jesus. Number three, make sure you give a gift that lasts. I'm done. Give a gift that lasts. Wise men gave three gifts. Guess what we're doing 2,000 years later? We're still talking about the three gifts. Let me help you. Every $20, every $50, every $500, every $5,000, whatever you've done this year for Jesus. You saw those people on the screen. You get to rewatch that video. As we get the other ones in, we can tag them in, whatever, if we get to do that. Whatever it is, maybe we just add their greetings along from everything, from children and infants and babies to the elderly, to people who've never heard, to Champaign, Illinois, where Ed and Rachel are there, and it is 40, 50 countries represented at the University of Illinois Champaign, and they are reaching folks who have never one time heard the name of Jesus, and never Jesus Christ, and understood who he was and the gospel. You're buying solar-powered MP3 players where they have recorded in their own language, the gospel account and the major narratives, the Old and New Testament. They come, they give them the gospel, they go back as a missionary. You're doing that. Give a gift that'll last. Give a gift that'll last. Give the gift of memories. Give the gift of great times. Let me help you. Give the gift of invitation. Brandon spoke for us Wednesday night. Reminded us you can use the icebreaker of a candy cane. Point people to the J of Jesus. You can put two of them together, see the heart of God. You can remind them that it was the precious blood of Jesus that was spilt for you and for me. It's the shepherd's crook, the one who cares about us. You can use all the symbols of the season and invite folks. Give the gift of soul winning. I love you too much to let you die in your sins. Give the gift of forgiveness. Give the gift of a godly heritage. You and your family, your extended family, your aunts and your uncles, your nieces, your nephews, your children, your spouse, whoever it is, give them that gift, but give a gift that makes a difference and lasts for more than a moment. How embarrassing to clean out a closet, work in your garage, look for something in your car and find something you bought, you were really hyped up about, you hadn't seen it in years, you didn't even remember you owned it. Don't spend your money on stuff like that. Invest, but more than that, worship. It's a silly thing. It's a hard thing for me to think about. that I want to fight in this area. When Jesus did no fighting, he laid down his life for me. He gave his all. And I want to check everything and run my math, make excuses, instead of just full out worship. I was getting a shot the other day, or a booster. A lady kind of got me in a muscle. And as soon as she did, she knew it. She said, I'm so sorry. She says, just let me, whatever she was going to go get. It's a cold something or whatever. I said, it's fine. She said, no. She said, I'm so sorry. I said, I call her by name. I said, you could come burn my yard down. Set my grass on fire. I said, I'm not going to be mad with you. I said, you guys helped save my life. The Lord used you. I said, you'll have to go a long way from just giving me a sore arm for a few hours. I said, we're good. She said, you sure? I said, I'm positive. We get that with doctors. We get that with EMTs. We get that with people in our lives. We get that in all these kind of situations. God, you can ask for it all. I'm okay. I just want to worship you. I'm thankful to you. I love you. I love you with all of me. Part of Christmas is being reminded we get to worship Jesus. Pray with me, Father. Lord, we set a goal so we know where we're headed. Lord, we we have some fun with it, and plan and strategy. But we do this because you've been good to us. And Lord, whether we never thought about it, today's that first time of thinking, I'm responsible for the gifts that God's given to me. Maybe you've just been challenged. Maybe you've been thinking that's somebody else's to do. If my finances were different or whatever. But we all know if we won't be responsible for what we have, we won't be responsible if we have more. And so help us. Break down those walls. Lord, this is not a mean sermon. This is not hateful. This is just a great reminder that Jesus, you are worthy.